Turn in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Matthew. We read our text this morning, and we are going to be narrowing our focus to just a few of these verses today. And we are continuing on now in our series, This Is How. Last week we did, This Is How to Be a Blessing, from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 18. And was that not a blessing? Indeed it was. We talked about this is how to get ahead. And we talked about the factor of trust. And I know that that has helped us get ahead. And today, we're going to tackle a very, very big subject. We're going to be focusing in on verses 5 to 15. I'll go ahead and read verses 5 to 15 of chapter 6 of Matthew, if you would, for the reading of the word, stand. And we'll call today's message, This Is How to Pray. This is how to pray. Hear the word of the Lord. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they receive their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. And do not repeat me. Do not say this out loud with me. Let me say this, and then let's move on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Heavenly Father, speak in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I know we know the Lord's Prayer, and I'm not saying it's wrong to recite the Lord's Prayer. It's fine. But there's some things here about that that we want to talk to, and we'll get there. But let me take you back first to the year 1755. It's 1755, and it's before the American Revolution. And they're in the New World, and a young 23-year-old colonel is with General and the rest of the troops, and they get ambushed. They're not used to fighting anywhere out but in the open, and so they are annihilated. Now, this young 23-year-old colonel is on horseback, and he's taking orders from the general and delivering it to the troops. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. And there's a melee all around him. And the general eventually dies. And all of the officers who are on horseback have also fallen. Yet this man escapes without harm. After the battle, he sees he has 4 bullet holes in his coat. He had been knocked down. 2 horses had been shot from underneath him. Later, one of the enemy leaders said, I had 17 clear shots at this man, and he would not go down. Later, in a small field notebook, George Washington penned this prayer. Thou hast preserved me from the dangers of the night past, and brought me to the light of this day, and the comfort thereof, a day which is consecrated to thine own service and for thine own honor. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and majesty of it, that I may not do mine own works, but wait on thee, and to discharge those weighty duties thou required of me. Bless my family, kindred, friends, and country, be our God and guide this day and forever for His sake. And of course, we know what happened to George Washington, right? And he was a man of prayer. And our text today talks of this sort of thing, praying with an understanding of providence. Petitioning, yes, but understanding that God is underneath it all. Now, again, as we've been saying with all these messages, this is not everything about the subject. We're not going to cover everything about prayer from one text. It's not everything about the subject, not the last word on the subject. Jesus talked about prayer just a little while later, and before, and after. Paul talks about prayer. We have lots of stuff about prayer. There's different types of prayer. You know, supplication and petition and all these other things. So it's not everything about the subject or the last word on the subject, but it is foundational to the subject. It's not everything that this text addresses even. But it's a biblically based instruction on this subject, prayer, from this text. Now, our text here, we read verses 1 to 18, and everything surrounding it is about two things, hypocrisy and holiness. Hypocrisy and holiness. And this is what Jesus is going to do, is contrast hypocrisy and give the antidote, true holiness. All right, now in the first part, in the first four verses, he's basically talking about giving, and then he talks about fasting and that sort of thing. But again, we're going to narrow our focus to verses 5 to 15 about prayer. Now again, this is important because it lays the groundwork. What happens here is Jesus gives the framework of prayer. He establishes certain basic principles he wants to ground and guide us with. Now, you can find the parallel text in Luke chapter 11. And here in verses 1 to 4, he gives the essence of that framework also. But what he first does, before he gets to verses 9 and 10, he describes three things that talk about being consistent and persistent. Ask, seek, and knock. You guys know what that is, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open unto you. And now you can remember that very easily by ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. And then he gives this whole Lord's Prayer, as it were. Okay? But he talks about being consistent and persistent. Now, the phrases that we see in the Lord's Prayer are pointing to the framework. It's not that we should repeat the phrases, not that it's bad, but just to repeat it and say, think that it has some sort of magic. When he says, after this manner pray ye, not pray exactly this and nothing else, and we can turn that into some sort of recital that has not, our heart not in it. And that's the whole point, is in this chapter, he's saying, don't be hypocritical, don't be superstitious, pray after this manner. And we can take this manner and make it hypocritical or superstitious, the very thing he's warning about. Because people can see verses in the Bible and they're not Christians and they take them to their own destruction. Right? Isn't that what it says in 2 Peter? Those that are untrained and unlearned take the scriptures and they twist them to their own destruction. Didn't we used to do that? Don't we have to work our way out of it even when we understand? We could be Christians 20 and 30 years and there's still something we just kind of always believed a certain way, but it really isn't that way. But Jesus says, this is how to pray. Now again, it's not repeating the phrases. Jesus speaks of empty phrases, but he doesn't say an empty framework. That's what he's giving here, is a framework for prayer with an understanding of providence. Does people know what providence means? God provides. God is underneath it all. God is guiding things. Now, here in this text, are you with me? Jesus starts by addressing two of the great problems we encounter in prayer, and then he gives the antidote to them. Now, in verses 5 and 6, he speaks about being hypocritical. And then in verses 7 and 8, he speaks about being superstitious. After that, he gives us the pattern for prayer. So we understand that we must avoid taking this pattern and using it in a hypocritical or superstitious way. So let's look now at verse 5. And verse 5, he says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. There we have it, see? And what does a hypocrite do? They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. So you should never pray out in public because that's hypocrite. Oh, wait. It says, why, Herb? Why they're doing that? They're not doing that just to pray and be edifying. They're doing it so that they may be seen by others. And then look at verse 6. He says, but when you pray, aha, but when you pray, don't be like them. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And some of your versions may say openly. So the first thing he wants you to see before he even teaches you how to pray, he says, this is how not to pray. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be hypocritical. Now, the truth is we're not perfectly sincere, and sincerity is no substitute for truth, and we pray the best we know how, but he gives you an example of being hypocritical. And the first thing he says as an antidote to that in verse 5 is be sincere. Be sincere. In other words, don't be like the others who just want to be seen as holy. You can pray in public, but don't try to be a performer. You say, well, Pastor, you pray pretty wow, you know, and all that. We're going to get to some of that. Don't be like the others. Be sincere. Don't just pray so people can say, oh, I'm praying really good. There's a lot of people that can probably pray pretty good in public, but what are they in private? That's what Jesus addresses here. It's okay. You can use flowing words and phrases and all that and, you know, a little bit of Christianese, but the fact of the matter is you've got to be sincere. Not just turn it on and turn it off like a light bulb. That's a false power. There's no oil in that lamp. So he says, be sincere. The second thing in verse 6, be secret. Be secret. He says, but when you pray, go in your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's he basically saying? Now listen, again, we're looking at an overall frame. He's saying you got to spend some time alone with God. You don't just pray when you're out there looking all big and all that. The Pharisees probably weren't praying a lick in private. What's your private prayer life like? That is who you really are. A lot of people can worship and all this on Sunday, and they ought to, and that's good. And we got to try to build ourselves into it. And I understand all that. But there ought to be some private stuff going on. When he says in secret, he doesn't mean no one can ever find out. He means, what do you do on your own? Oh, you're going to use all these big things there, but what are you going to do with our pool of prayer this week? Ooh, I'm convicted. Be sincere. Be secret. Make sure you get alone with God. Again, he's not even talking about the prayer model yet, the model prayer. He's saying, make sure you're not being hypocritical or superstitious in the first place. Because then you can take this whole pattern and turn it into your own thing. So be sincere, verse 5. Be secret. Make sure you get alone with God. How you pray in private is what you really are. And then when you pray in public, it will be real. It will be powerful. Not just a show. He goes, the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. Think about the context. It is your prayer. So if you have good private prayer, that will end your public prayer, whether anybody else thinks it's, oh, this word, that word, it'll give it power. Amen. And not be empty. The Pharisees' prayers, he said, were empty. Just for show. He goes, but if you pray like you mean it when you're in private, then when you're in public, it'll be real. We need to get real about prayer, do we not? Because they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Give us a formula so we can move the hand of God. No, he doesn't talk like that at all. He says, stop that nonsense. Stop looking for a formula. You need to get real. I'm not going to go against a whole series of books, prayers that do this, prayers that do that, and all that. But Jesus says, this. Because they ask him specifically, you look at Luke 11, and he says, teach us to pray. And he says, I'll teach you how to pray. Let me tell you what not to do first. Don't you be hypocritical. Don't be like them out in the streets and saying, oh, this, oh, that. You better have some alone time with God. All that, oh, ain't going to get you nothing. Again, what you pray in private is who you really are. Now, he addresses this idea of being hypocritical in prayer. And he gives you sort of the antidote. He says, be sincere. Be concerned about your private prayer life before your public prayer life. But then there's also this other thing that the Pharisees may or may not have been doing, but the regular public does. Because he doesn't talk about the Pharisees now. Now who does he talk about? He talks about the Gentiles. The heathen as they were in the day. The unwashed. The uncircumcised, the unregenerate as far as they were concerned. And Jesus is speaking to that. And he says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think they'll be heard for their many words. God's not deaf, right, Adelaide? Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So he's saying, don't be hypocritical and don't be superstitious. Now, you got to remember that one. Whew. He said, be sincere. Be secret. What else did you say? Be succinct. Be succinct. Don't think that having all the right magic words and all the flowing phrases are what matters. It's not length or loudness that counts. Now, it's okay to use big words and to be fervent. He's not saying, I'm all against that. You just don't keep repeating yourself and getting louder as if this is what God's looking for. God's looking for you to be sincere. God's looking for you to have a private prayer life. God's looking for you to say what you mean what you say, and you know what I'm saying. Be sincere, be secret, don't be a hypocrite. Be succinct. You can be loud, you can be long, but don't think, okay, I really need God to do it this time, so I'm just going to shout a little louder. I mean, how many times did you shout at your husband or wife and that made it better? Oh, the volume's a little higher, so they'll pay attention to me now. Ladies? Right? Men, how many times would she come and say, I told you this, you got to do this, how did that work for you guys? Man, I'm just getting all involved here. But you get my point. He says, don't be superstitious like them. Don't think, okay, if I just hit on the right thing, and if I just say it just loud enough, and if enough people around the world are holding hands, and they'll do it. No. Wrong. He doesn't address that. Yes, it's fine for people to pray together and all. Yes, of course, we're not going against that. But don't be superstitious about it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, person, one, singular, hello, avails much. Oh, find the holy guy. The prayers will work then. You're on the wrong ball field. Jesus is saying you're not supposed to be doing that. You don't pray to find something that works. You pray because He has done the work. End of story. I could go home. Okay. I'm not going to be that succinct. Hypocritical and superstitious. Do you guys see that? Am I being very clear with you on the text here? He says, before we even get into this is how you pray, don't do it like this. Don't do it like the Pharisees. They're hypocrites. Don't do it like the Gentiles. They're superstitious. Be sincere. Be secret. Be succinct. And verse 8, be sure. Do not be like them. Like who? The Gentiles. Keep on doing the phrases. Keep on doing it louder. Oh, if I just pray long enough and strong enough, God will grant me my request. As if you don't, then He doesn't. If He wants you to have it, you get it. If He doesn't, you don't. But you do ask. You have not because you ask not. I get that. Yes, you can ask more than once. Paul asked 3 times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. So again, this isn't everything about it, but don't be superstitious thinking, oh, I missed one thing. Oh, that's why God didn't grant it. Oh, no. We've never done that. We didn't grow up with that. Be sure. Yes, we should petition God. And yes, we should be persistent. Remember, He said, ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. But can you see a little bit of the difference here? It should be with an understanding of who He is. Not as if we must inform Him of who we are. With persistence, yes, while relying on providence. Lord, I'm asking for this thing. Lord, I'm asking for this thing. Lord, I'm asking for this thing. But You know what is best. Lord, it's still a few days before this job starts, so I'm asking You for it. Lord, it's now 5 days. Now it's 4 days. Now it's 3 days. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just don't turn it into something that it shouldn't be. So again, hypocritical. Someone say hypocritical. Superstitious. Jesus is saying, before I even tell you, pray then like this. I don't want you to be hypocritical like the Pharisees, superstitious like the Gentiles. He says, therefore, pray then like this. Pray with persistence while relying on providence. Now, there's just three things. I told you two things. You only have to remember five things today. Two things not to do, hypocritical, superstitious. Three things to do. In these phrases, we find three concepts here that I want to illustrate. The first is found in verses 9 through 11. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank him for what you have before you ask him for what you need. We have a relationship with him. When it comes right down to it, we're going to get all we need to get in the final analysis, right? When we're in heaven and on the eternal state on the new earth, right? We're going to have what we need. And he already knows what you need. In verse 8, he says, don't be like this, like as if God doesn't know what you need. Oh God, do you remember this one? Look at verse 32. He says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. That's food, clothing, and shelter, by the way. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He doesn't say don't ask for it. He does say ask for it. There it is in the text. Give us this day our daily bread. But before he says that, he says, Father, we have a relationship. Hallowed be your name. What you want to happen is right. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, as far as I know, Lord, I need to get up today. I need to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. So we thank him for what we have before we ask him for what we need. He already knows what you need, right? Amen. Does anybody know that? He knows what you need. Everybody else in the church does too, because you keep telling them. What he wants to hear is how much you appreciate what he's already done. Amen. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. He wants to know how much you appreciate what you've already done. Now he already knows that too. He's God. He knows everything. But he's trying to get you into shape. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be superstitious. Thank him for what you have before you ask him for what you need. Second principle, verses 12 and 13. And forgive us our debt that your word may say trespasses. Sins, right? As we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Second principle, tell them what you've done wrong before you ask them to make it right. Tell them what you've done wrong before you ask them to make it right. Lord, I don't have no job, I don't have no money, but I spent my money on cigarettes and beer and lottery. Lord, I need some help with that, but Lord, guess what? I can't even do that, I can't do nothing. Help me out. Tell them what you've done wrong before you ask him to do it right. This stuff is really clear when you read the rest of Scripture and you begin to know his character. You'll see that repentance, and that leads to faith. God already knows what you've done wrong, of course. But he wants to live in view of the fact that he is God and you are open to him. The Word of God says in Hebrews 4:13 that his Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart in verse 12, and that we are open to him whom we have to deal with. In verse 13, God knows my heart. Yes, and he uses the word to show you. It's not does he know your heart, it's does he have it. Tell him what you've done wrong before you ask him to make it right. I'm not saying be morbidly introspective. It's just be repentant, confess your sins. You say, God, please help me with this. And he's like, what's behind that back? Oh, God, but this person's doing me wrong. Yes, but you did this to them. Oh, God, help me with this. It's like, you want a job and you're cheating on your taxes. Hello. But everybody else, is he talking about anybody else? Be sincere, be secret, be succinct, be sure. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be superstitious. Thank him for what you have before you ask him for what you need. Tell him what you've done wrong before you ask him to make it right. You got to realize you're open to God. That helps you live a more holy life. I mean, if Jesus was sitting there right on your shoulder, right there and going, Dee Dee, hey, how you doing? It's Jesus. You wouldn't say, okay, I'm going to go do this. Marty wouldn't say, oh, I'm just going to go do this now. We need to live coram Deo in the face of God. You know, and behold him. Look at him. That's how we're changed anyway. And when we realize that we're open to God, then we can be that way. It helps us. It will help your prayer life if you just tell God what the truth is. He knows it anyway. Confess before God. He says, pray this way. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Tell them what you've done wrong before you ask them to make it right. Last principle here. Now, in your King James Version, in many of your versions, it will have this doxology, a word of praise. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And I could break those phrases down and do many sermons on the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever, amen. But even if that phrase is not actually in the original, prayer recognizes who God is. Even if this doxology at the end was not in the original phrases, verse 9 and 10 point to the same thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do your will, Lord. You are just. You are holy. You are good. You are God. I worship you through prayer. Again, thank him for what you have before you ask him for what you need. Tell him what you've done wrong before you ask him to make it right. Praise him for who he is, no matter what he does. He's still God. Your situation may not be good. He doesn't say everything is going to be good. He says he's working all things together for your good. You think those branches, if they could speak, when you're cutting them back and pruning them so they'll grow better and be bigger, are going to go, they wouldn't go, you're killing me, you're killing me, you're cutting me off. But if they knew better, they'd say, thank you, Master. You're tooling me and gardening me and whatever the right bottle, whatever phrase, whatever, zoological, botanical, whatever. But God knows, right? He prunes us. He does things, and sometimes it doesn't seem so good, and it might not be good in itself. But if you're one of his children, you're in that triumphal procession. It may go through pain. It may go through problems. It may go through poverty. It may go through all things. But you have got something that money can't buy, no one can steal, and poverty can't take away, can't lose. You praise him for who he is. God, creator, sustainer, savior. No matter what he does, he's still got the stamp on you. He's still going to deliver you. You may get some bumps and bruises, but that package will get to heaven intact, baby. And better than ever. Reception in glory, resurrection of the body, reunion with loved ones. Don't you want it? Amen. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be superstitious. Thank him for what you have before you ask him for what you need. Tell him what you've done wrong before you ask him to make it right. Praise him for who he is, no matter what he does. I worship you through prayer. That's what he's trying to say here. This is how you should pray. You worship God through it. Our prayers should have praise in them. Until our hearts find their safety, satisfaction, and rest in God, they will have no real rest. You cannot glorify God in the world unless you first glorify him in your heart. That is what he is saying in this whole prayer. You cannot glorify God in the world unless you first glorify him in your heart. The Pharisees were not doing that. The Gentiles were not doing that. He says, you need to do that. Amen? Now we have these little verses 14 and 15 here. And we need to think about the context. What's the context? He's talking about praying without being hypocritical and superstitious. Right? I'm good? Okay? Now let's look at it. Because we know God forgives even your unforgiveness. We know that, right? That's not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying something here in the context of what we're looking at. Please listen. He says, for if you forgive others, the lesson's done. He gave you the 3 points. But here's this thing at the end here. That's very important. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I've said it like this very often. Forgiven people become forgiving people. Forgiven people become forgiving people. Jesus is saying what? Unforgiveness messes up your prayer life. That's what he's saying. He's not saying he's not going to forgive you at all, because that would go against everything we already know. He's saying, look, you want to pray like this? You're going to be hypocritical. Remember our two things not to be? Hypocritical and superstitious. So if you were to ask for forgiveness without extending forgiveness, you would be what? Hypocritical. Right? But you've got to recognize something else here, too. This is just a generic phrase. If you were to go back and say, I haven't forgiven this person. I haven't forgiven this. I haven't forgiven that. And that's what's hindering my prayer. That would be what?
Superstitious.
You getting me? He's saying, don't generally be someone that's unforgiving. Don't hold something against Sam right now and then pray for Desmond or pray for yourself. Get rid of that thing. Not get back 25 years and, I can't pray because of some curse. Forget that. That would be me. Superstitious. Right? Oh, did you just learn something? I hope you did. Jesus said, this is how you pray. And again, we have to understand context. He says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. A forgiven person becomes a forgiving person. And if they're not, then look, he says, your temporal stuff here, you're not even, they're forgiven forever, but you're not going to forgive them for now. Your prayers, that's not going to work. But it's not, okay, my mom, my dad, and all this, maybe that might be good to look at, but that's not what he's saying here. You do the best you know how to do. You don't got to go find something under treasure. Aha, I found that one thing, and now that's what's been hindering my prayer life for 20 years. Bogus. That's what the Gentiles do. They promise you freedom, and you become enslaved. Again, Jesus is saying unforgiveness messes up your prayer life. That asking without giving is hypocritical. But again, this is a generic statement. It's about holding something against someone right now, or just generally being an unforgiving type of person. That's what causes us to be hypocritical. But it'd be superstitious to think we have to search out all of our past unforgiveness or God won't answer our prayers. That would go against what we know about God's forgiveness in the first place. We should not be hypocritical. We should not be superstitious. We're not trying to find prayers that work. We're praying to God because He is God, and through Christ, He has done the most important work. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be superstitious. We want to be sincere. We want to have a real prayer life. Just not just inside the church where everybody can see. Or at some event. We want it to be that those things have power because in our closet we meet with You. Lord, we know sometimes we feel like shouting and praying and we feel like going on a long time. And we know that can be okay. But we know, Lord, that we know sometimes it's just Jesus, help me out with this thing. And we are sure that You know what's going on with us better than we do. And we can pray like David in Psalm 19. And he says, who can know His errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me also back from presumptuous sins. Then I'll be innocent of a great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O Lord, my strength, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And we pray like He does in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my ways. Know my thoughts. Try me. If there's be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. But Lord, if it was up to us to find every single sin and to repent of every single little thing, that's all we would be doing and no one would even get to meet for church. We'd be afraid to even walk out in a crowd because there'd be sin everywhere. But Lord, You have set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. In knowing that, Lord, help us not to be hypocritical. Help us not to be superstitious. Help us to thank You for what we have before we ask You for what we need. Thank You, Lord, for that. Help us to confess our faults, Lord. Help us to tell you what we've done wrong and to be honest with you. That's the whole point. Honesty instead of hypocrisy. Before we ask you to make it right, not with a guilty conscience, not with morbid introspection, but with sincerity and truth. And Lord, amidst all the confusion and chaos that this world seems to provide, we have an inner peace because we have been reconciled to God, to you, by your Son Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his atoning blood. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we ask you, Lord, that you keep us reminded of the fact that we should praise you for who you are no matter what you do. Because we're sure that we can trust in you because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to see you here, there, or in the air. God bless you.